The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the Van Wee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are here, as always, live and in color, and we will be here for the next hour, welcoming all of our regulars back, as usual. Thank you for always being there. That's why we do this. If you're new to the show, either on purpose or by accident, just driving by, still here from the flood evacuations in the Carolinas or anything like that, just hang on for a while, and maybe we'll learn something. I heard the realtors, Howard and Angela, before us a little bit when I was coming out here, talking about some things about flood insurance. And if anybody ever doubts the value of flood insurance, there are probably a few hundred people in this town right now who would tell you point blank that what they said was correct. If you live in Florida, I've told clients this for years and years, read your own address, and if right after something it says comma FL, that doesn't stand for Florida, that stands for flood. That means buy flood insurance, even if you are in the X zone. You will be so happy. And if this isn't a year that could teach people what they really need to know with the horrible things in the Carolinas, then you're all hopeless. And believe me, your homeowners isn't going to pay it, folks.
Nope.
It will not pay it. And as I said last week, adding to that, if it were to happen to you, remember to use an independent adjuster. All of it's federal. All of it works the same way. It doesn't matter who sells it to you. It doesn't matter how much you pay for it. You get an independent adjuster. It's paid for. He or she is paid for by FEMA, and you will get made whole again, which, by the way, is exactly what the purpose of insurance is. It's not to get rich. It's to make you whole again. So enough of my little lectures, but I was awfully happy to hear them talking about it today because I agree with them heart and soul. Anyway, we got a lot to do today, as always. It's just been an extraordinary time in the market. Tariffs, who cares? Nothing matters. We're just on a tear. Politics, I've never seen a political season any worse than this one and hope never to. It doesn't take much of a conspiracy theorist to see who's winning and losing up there, does it? But you don't look at that when you're investing your money. You look at the market, and the market would tell you just what Adam's about to tell you.
So there was one major index that hadn't taken out its January all-time high, and it was the Dow. Well, that changed this week. The Dow added almost 600 points during the week, which is pretty incredible.
Not bad.
And that represented about 2.3%. And the so it's a new all-time high on the Dow, and it could not be stopped this week. It was pretty fun. The NASDAQ did not have quite as nice of a week. It actually lost just 0.3%. But there's been, you see it on the news that it's the FANG stocks. It's the FANG stocks. There's right. No breadth to this market. It's only that is not true. That was true.
There were years when that was the only money anybody made.
Yeah, 2016. But yeah. That is not the case here. Although Apple is doing very well, the other FANG stocks have actually been under some pressure. And so overall, the tech sector is not the only thing that's driving this market. So don't believe that when you hear it on the news, and you will hear it repeated over and over. But the market actually looks pretty healthy right now overall. The S&P added about 0.8% during the week. So that's a broader index than the other two, and that's a pretty good sign, in my opinion. When you can gain almost a point during a week on the S&P, I'm happy.
Oh, very, very happy.
So the financials and material sectors actually led the way. As I mentioned, utilities were the only sector to drop, but technology was actually the second worst performer this week. So
we haven't said that many times,
no,
have we?
No, not many at all.
Doing the show for 3.5 years, and without technology, very little was going on.
Yeah, there was a lot of things that reversed this week. Financials have not been doing very well. Materials have been doing very poorly. And so to see those lead, that's a nice change. The international markets also saw pretty large rallies this week. That's something new. Yep. China and Brazil, the two worst performers year-to-date, more or less, saw the biggest gains. Brazil added more than 8%, while China was up more than 6%. Russia tacked on almost 5%, and several European markets added more than 3%. So all in all, a pretty big reversal from the previous months.
Which you essentially said last week, this stuff's got to happen because the volume of trade worldwide has never been higher.
Yeah. I mean, we all knew it was coming. Yeah. It's just a matter, you can't ever predict when it'll be, but it had gotten to a point where emerging markets were in a bear market and the other European countries had just been beat up. Brazil and China were just smashed. You knew it had to happen. I'm not saying that this is the beginning of a trend, but there could be a little bit of a false bump. But
how
it
do
could
you sell
be.
Something? Just keep lowering the price till it sells.
Exactly.
That's what's been going on in those markets. They get cheaper and cheaper and cheaper, and then all of a sudden somebody says, oh my gosh, there's a bargain.
When you're looking at established European companies with price-to-earnings ratios that are in the low teens to even lower than that.
Way
it looks
lower than
really,
our companies.
Really attractive when we're sitting at 20. So, it gets to a point where it's too good of a buy to pass up. So commodities also rallied this week with the index rising more than 1.6%. Oil helped that, adding more than 3%. But natural gas was the biggest driver, surging more than 8% this week. I don't know what drove that. Did you catch that?
And no, I was too busy smiling.
Okay. Yeah, that's natural gas has been pretty depressed this year as well. So that was a nice trend reversal there.
I think it's just the worldwide energy glut is being worked off by the economic activity.
Yeah.
That's all I can figure. It's not a surplus commodity any longer.
Absolutely. Yeah. The economic activity is really eating up the oil supplies that were so high a year ago. I mean, all-time highs. Yep. And hopefully that's what's happening in natural gas as well. And we're not into the heating season yet, but we are coming up into it. So that's a consideration as well. There was some bad news this week. It was in the bond market. Bond prices really took a dip this week. The aggregate bond market dropped 21 basis points, with 20-year treasuries dropping more than 1.2% just this week. So,
because something's going to happen next week, they're anticipating.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Rate hike is fully expected at the next Fed meeting, and that's basically what this is signaling. I mean, there are no surprises there. You kind of knew that was coming.
If they don't raise rates this week, next week our show is going to be free.
Okay. It was a quiet week in economic data, and it was kind of a split week. There was some good news, some bad news. We finally saw some positive signs in the housing market. It's been a while. The supply issues that are plaguing the industry are finally somewhat getting dealt with. The NHAB housing index beat expectations, and housing starts were stronger than expected. However, existing home sales were lower, and building permits came in lower than expected. Again, a lot of the existing home sales is inventory. There just isn't much out there right now.
No, and you're starting to see cost pressures everywhere, and it was shown in some of the early reports that are coming in for earnings. FedEx notably came in, beat the heck out of the revenues, and didn't make it on the earnings side because of cost increases, which means, along with the layoffs at 201,000, lowest since 69,
yeah,
it means that labor is scarce, which means the price of labor is rising. People are turning 65, 66, 67 every day. The workforce is shrinking due to retirements, and it's not being replaced fast enough. That means rising wages, rising costs. That means inflation. There's going to be some good news down the line for people who hold tips and gold and all kinds of things like that.
No doubt.
There is a shift going on out there that does not look like it's going away. If you look for recession indicators, keep looking.
Yeah, it's hard to find right now.
Yep. If you look at the advances and declines or anything else you're looking at, the JOLTS numbers, are job opening and labor turnover numbers, are huge. There's just nothing coming up out there but good news as far as I'm concerned. All right, don't go anywhere. We'll get into some topics right after the break. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
If you don't have a battery-operated radio and light when the power goes out, you may be considered a little crazy. This is Bob from Sea Crane, and radio is the only service that stays up when all communications are down. We believe that having an emergency radio and light that always works is one of the most important things you can have in your emergency kit. Well, with the CC Observer, you get both. The Observer is an AM, FM, and weather band radio that will keep you updated during any local emergency. The Observer can be charged by a hand crank or can be used with common AA batteries. It has a built-in flashlight and a lighted dial. The CC Observer is the radio and light source that you should have during a power outage.
To order the new CC Observer, now with the solar panel, please give us a call at 800-522-8863. That's 800-522-8863. Or visit us online at ccradio.com. Sea Crane, the high-performance radio and light company.
Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think no one is home, and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Call now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Call right now and you'll also get 6 free sensors. That's 6 points of protection for free. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-888-987-3232. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-888-987-3232. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement at $35.99 per month. Total package includes 6 door window sensors. Labor charges may apply. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and Protect Your Home license numbers. Call now, 1-888-987-3232.
That's the sound of people throwing out their old dehumidifiers. They've replaced them with a computerized wave ventilation unit. Wave ventilation expels moisture, gases, and toxins that are trapped in your basement or crawl space and replaces it with drier, fresher air. Wave ventilation requires no maintenance. There are no buckets to empty or filters to change. And compared to a dehumidifier, it will save you hundreds of dollars each year in energy costs.
I recently installed a unit and was stunned by the difference. I had a dehumidifier for almost 20 years without ever getting rid of that musty smell. Now, the smell is finally gone.
Say goodbye to your dehumidifier and get a Wave unit for your home.
For free information, go to dryhousenow.com or call 888-964-WAVE. Satisfaction guaranteed. Just go to dryhousenow.com or call 888-964-WAVE.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have a trivia question this week, sponsored by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. Call Ken 904-636-7888. Now, we've reported last week, and most of you probably know, that September is the worst month in the markets on average over 100 years. What was the September performance? We need how much in percent and what direction in the S&P 500 last year in September? So I need a, it's like a minus 16 or plus 1 or whatever, like that, direction and amount. All right. Anything else you want to wrap on the market?
Nope, that was it. Just okay. Jobless claims are we said it's very possible we could see sub 200,000 soon.
It's been and since week, 1959, I think.
Then this week they dropped to 201, so yeah. Almost made it. And if they continue this trend that they're on, they'll be under this next week. So.
And it goes right back to what I was saying. People are retiring and there just aren't enough people coming into it. And you saw that last month in the jobs numbers. There are still some people who are apparently quite complacent by not joining the workforce.
Yeah.
And they need to get off their
welfare. I also wouldn't be surprised to see a little spike this week because of the hurricane. So you, if you do see a 250, 280 type number, don't be alarmed. It's probably just the hurricane.
Yeah, and give it a month or two after the floodwaters recede, and that'll spike again straight down.
Yeah, for sure.
Everybody goes back to work, plus all the people that are helping out. All right, you know how much I love headlines. I found a few this week, to no one's surprise. I talked about Schiller last week about I can't remember which way he was last week because he changes so much, but I called him always wrong. So he says, the market is experiencing irrational exuberance. Okay. I criticized him as being always wrong, like Bernanke. So I was one Fed chief off, apparently. Apparently it was more like Greenspan because that's where that came from. So I have been for years watching his version of asset allocation. I've never seen it higher than about 15% in stocks. He is a never stocker. Took that from Never Trumpers. So by him saying that the stocks are irrationally exuberant, I would take that with the tiniest little grain of salt. But it's pretty low when you got to dip back into the archives of Alan Greenspan just to get a phrase.
I remember that when he said that, actually. Yeah. It was a long time ago.
Oh, man, I can't help myself sometimes. All right, that was Sunday. Monday, Goldman bear market risk indicator at highest since 1969. Now, in that article, there's a quote by the Goldman strategist named Peter Oppenheimer. He says, and I quote, the firm's bull bear index, which is based on measures of equity valuation, growth momentum, unemployment, inflation, and the yield curve, is now at levels last seen in 1969. While that gauge is at levels that have historically preceded a bear market, Goldman strategists, including Peter Oppenheimer, wrote in a note last week that a long period of relatively low returns from stocks is a more likely alternative. Okay, so did the headline writer maybe seek to do some attention grabbing there?
Of course, they always do.
And if this is the case, just how bad can the so-called bear market indicator actually be if it's not indicating bear markets?
Yeah, I don't know.
Remember,
if an indicator doesn't, if they don't think it's actually indicating what it's supposed to indicate, is it a valid indicator?
Not to me.
I mean, that's kind of like sounding off the tornado warning when there's no threat of a tornado.
Yeah. All right. Back in 07, 08, 09, I could probably pull up hundreds of articles instantly where you better get used to low returns on stocks. Remember those? 4, 5, 6.
Mm-hmm.
That it's the new normal,
right?
Is low returns from equities. The dividends alone are pushing up toward those ranges now. What has happened in the years since 7, 8, 9? What's the S&P's up about 400, Dow's up 500, 600, something like that. It is just craziness to make predictions like that. The long term, and I mean super long term, 100 years and more, returns to the stock market are much closer to 10 than 5. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to get 10 on any given year, but look what we've compounded over the last few years. Why would people say this? Let me guess. They must be selling either newsletters, bonds, who knows? There is an underlying motive for people to talk like that. Trust me. All right. Then on Thursday, the, quote, great bull is dead. And here's what's next. Bank of America predicts. Really, it's dead. That was Thursday. And by the end of the day on Thursday, we had just broken records for the Dow and the S&P. Mm-hmm. Nice timing, guys. Now, what's behind this? Investors should focus on inequality, innovation, and immortality that would benefit pharma companies and technology disruptors along with inflation plays. So they're picking sectors, apparently. So inequality and immortality, really? that's where it's at for the future now. I agree with technology interrupters or whatever. You got a new idea out there and can get into the market, absolutely. But you focus on inequality?
Well, it's
of what? Income, people,
income.
Taxation?
They're talking about income inequality. It's the biggest buzzword out there.
You can invest on that?
Everyone's so up in arms that some people make a lot of money and some people don't.
So what stock would you pick for that one?
I have no idea.
I don't either. Immortality. Well, what, sell your life insurance companies? Because immortality, well, maybe you should keep them. I don't know. Maybe they won't have to pay out so much. Maybe they'll collect premiums longer. I could argue their side of that. My point is, asset allocation doesn't have to do with stupid ideas like that. Asset allocation has to do with forming a portfolio where things work with each other to provide a long-term balance and somewhat steady growth.
This week was such a great example of that, too, because you saw things that had been out of favor for quite a while come back, and the things that were in favor didn't do well. So if you've been holding on to any international and emerging markets, it's been subtracting from your returns from the other parts of your portfolio for at least a few months. And then this week, that completely reversed, and it probably actually added to your performance. So there's a reason that you don't sell during those times.
Right.
A, you're still collecting the dividends and hopefully reinvesting at lower valuations. And then B, because things always change.
Yep.
No matter what is out of favor right now, it's never going to stay out of favor forever.
And we'll tell you all about those changes if you listen to the show, and we'll tell you a little while after they've already happened.
Your favorite phrase.
It is indeed. No one knows, people. All right, you've heard us talk about fully funded life insurance products, right? Everybody has heard of these things. You might not know what they're actually called, but always forward, never back. Live free, tax-free for the rest of your life. Products never lost money, on and on and on. Man, they sound good. Well, from one of the more famous websites, I won't divulge the name. I've complained about her long enough. Anyway, she says, Warren Buffett, called the Oracle of Omaha and one of the most successful investors of all time, issued this warning in his latest annual letter to shareholders. Stock market losses of 50% or more are not only possible, but inevitable in the future. All right, now, inevitable, it's a pretty big word, isn't it?
Yeah, it's also wrong.
And future is an even bigger word. It has happened. It happened in 29, and it happened in 08.
Yeah, I don't disagree that it could happen,
right.
But saying that
inevitable?
It's inevitable is not true.
And what if it happens once in your lifetime, and he's really talking about your kids? Are you going to jump ship and go over to a fully funded life insurance product because Warren Buffett maybe or maybe not? I didn't read his annual report. I know someone who did, though. In fact, maybe he's listening. Craig, if you've got that and you can find it, we'd appreciate it. Anyway, Buffett discussed how over the next 53 years, we should expect losses similar to those experienced during the 53-year history of Berkshire Hathaway stock. Okay, so I've just increased my planning horizon to 53 years, and I'm going to be very conservative during that time. Oh, boy. Some of the worst losses were from 37.1 to 59.1. But remember something. What did Warren Buffett do during those periods?
During what, 08?
The down 37, the down 59%.
Oh, he went out and found bargains on companies and bought them.
And bought them, exactly right. Now, that was not mentioned in here. All right, he noted that our shares and others will experience declines resembling those of the previous declines. No one can tell you when this will happen. The light can at any time go from green to red without turning yellow. And my response to that is, thank you, Captain Obvious. So, it gets worse and worse. In her newsletter last week, she said we're in the longest running bull market in history. Well, we debunked that last week.
Yeah,
we're in the second longest bull market in history. Not only is there little evidence that investors are wary, but market commentators are pointing to panic buying.
that's ridiculous.
And I'm going to pick this up after the break because Adam and I could use a really good laugh this weekend, and I think we're just about to get one. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Secretary of State Pompeo says the U.S. is committed to winning the release of evangelical pastor Andrew Brunson, who's being held in Turkey. Pompeo spoke yesterday at the Values Voters Summit here in Washington, going on this weekend. Also set to take the podium just about an hour from now, Vice President Mike Pence, who will talk about the administration's commitment under President Trump's leadership to religious freedom in other countries, as well as, of course, here in the United States. Senator Susan Collins of Maine is angry that President Trump asked why the attack being alleged against Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh was not reported at the time it allegedly occurred about 40 years ago. Senator Collins of Maine stressing that sexual assaults are normally underreported. It was another record-setting day on Wall Street on Friday. The Dow gained another 86 points, closing for the first time at 26,743. This is SRN News.
Good news. You are not stuck with your health care plan. Really, you have a choice, and it's a great one. It's called MediShare, and if you've heard about it and wondered what exactly it is, it's a way that people share their health care bills. And these are people who have a common faith, who want to be part of something beautiful that not only meets their healthcare needs, but the needs of others too. And it's people who love to save money big time. MediShare members typically save $500 a month per family on their healthcare costs. That is a life changer for people. So this could be for you. Maybe it's what you've been looking for, a way to pay healthcare bills that's not only very smart financially, but it's even profound. MediShare is a nonprofit with 400,000 members nationwide who pray for and share with each other. So yes, you're not stuck. There's another way, and it could save you a lot. Find out more. Call 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. You may have heard about diamonds certified by EGL, GIA, AGS, IGI, and wondered what that meant. It's confusing because those letters represent various diamond grading laboratories. However, it's important to point out that labs don't certify anything. What they do is issue diamond grading reports. Any certifying going on is done by the retailer. That's why at Underwoods, we have and maintain an accredited gem laboratory of the American Gem Society, so we can check these reports to see if the diamond report matches the American Gem Society diamond grading standard that we've been using for over 50 years. As a certified gemologist, I've seen thousands of different laboratory reports from labs like IGI and EGL, and sometimes they'll miss the grade by as many as five grades. So we only use the accurate, credible labs of AGS, GIA, and Forevermark. But Underwoods is who's doing the certifying.
Leave the summertime cooking to the original Tunis Restaurant, 7400 103rd Street, just west of 295. Dine in, drive through, or use Uber Eats. The original Kronos Gyros, shrimp, fish, oysters, wings, and more. The original Tunis can cater any occasion. 317-9300. And talk with Z, the owner and founder. Ask him how your church or civic group can use the original Tunis Restaurant for your next fundraiser. The original Tunis Restaurant, 7400 103rd Street, open 7 days a week. Come meet Z, the founder.
The latest traffic and weather on WBOB, your 2018 election authority.
Good driving at the moment. Maybe we'll keep it that way for the rest of the weekend. As for the weather, not too bad either. 30% chance of showers both today and tomorrow. Partly sunny skies, highs 88 tonight, tomorrow night. A little bit of rain, 20% chance of showers. Mostly cloudy skies, down to about 75 degrees. It's up to 83 currently at AM 600 WBOB.
Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I remind you that the trivia question is still out there. We know that historically September is the worst month on the market. It's not really shaping up that way so far this particular year. But what was the performance of the S&P 500 last year in September, both direction and percentage?
Had a couple of things.
Okay.
I got a really good question from a client this week.
The one about, do I drink fully caffeinated coffee, or the other one?
No, a different one.
Oh, okay.
Had a younger client call and say, hey, Adam, remember when we had that discussion about my daughter and how she's turning 16? This is a few years ago, and I need to get her a car. I was like, yes. And he's like, well, that's now. Time flies. And he was wondering if he should pull money out of his IRA to do that. And I said, absolutely not. And that's what he thought. He just wanted to verify that. But he was asking why that was. The reason you should never pull money out of a retirement account to make a purchase like that is twofold. One, interest rates, while they have gone a little bit higher, are still historically low. And you can get a car loan for somewhere between 3 and 6%. And that's a really good rate. So not that you ever really want to pay interest, but if you have to pay interest, make sure it's low interest, and that is pretty low interest rates. So you right now you can actually make more than that, especially if you're aggressive in the market, and he is. So yeah, it would make more sense to keep that money in working for him in a tax sheltered account than to pull it out and make a purchase instead of paying 3 to 6% interest. The other reason is that when you pull that money out, say you want $20,000. You have to pay taxes at your marginal rate plus a 10% penalty. So in order to get that $20,000, you're going to have to pull out closer to $30,000 than you will to $20,000. So that's going to be a really expensive car by the time you get that money out and pay the taxes on it. So I told him to do that, and he agreed, and he's going to finance it. So much better decision.
Couldn't agree with you more.
The other thing I wanted to talk about was credit freezes. Identity theft is a pretty common occurrence these days. You probably know someone or know of someone who has had their identity stolen or compromised or their credit card number stolen, any number of those
things. We know lots of them.
Unfortunately, it's true. We do know a lot of them. And credit monitoring is great, but it only helps after something has happened. It alerts you to the fact that it's already happened, so that it doesn't necessarily stop anything. So how do you prevent it? There is a way. You can freeze your credit. You have to call all three credit bureaus and have them put a freeze on your credit. That means nothing. They can't pull anything. They can't get new loans. You cannot even – it basically just makes it so that you cannot use your credit to do anything, and no one else can use your credit to do anything either. And historically, that has cost money up to about $15 per agency. Well, that just changed. I think this week it went into effect. It's now free to freeze your credit. So – if you're older and don't plan on making any purchases, or even if you're younger and don't plan on making any purchases for a while, it might be a good thing to call those agencies and put a freeze on your credit, and that way you don't have to worry about getting your identity stolen. There is still a fee in most cases to thaw your credit, which is the opposite of freeze. So when you call them to, if you're going to make a purchase, you call them, you have them thaw it, and then you can do that. But there might be a $10 charge on that. But you're looking at what used to be a $45 event to freeze all your credit, and now it's zero, and then maybe $30 to thaw it. So you went from paying $75 down to $30. So kind of a good deal. Just something to keep in mind if you're in a situation where you do want to protect yourself.
And not only that, but if you do thaw it and tell them what you're doing, if you say, I'm shopping for a car loan or I'm shopping for a home loan, they'll know that all the inquiries they start to receive are about one thing, and they won't ding you for all those extra ones. Each incident, the car loan, the house loan, they're only counted as one thing. So it won't hurt your credit score the way it used to if you explain that to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're safe too. That is very important, I think. All right, back to marketing by fear. There's evidence that there's panic buying. Well, you might look at the volumes this morning on the Dow, NASDAQ, and the S&P 500 yesterday and say, wow, there is panic buying going on.
It was off the charts yesterday.
Way off the charts. It was the most shares traded ever in one day.
And we're not just talking about the marijuana stocks across the board.
No, they were large also.
Yeah.
But what happened was it was one of the four annual quadruple witching days when we have the expirations of stock index futures, stock index options, stock futures, and single stock options. And all of those expire annually. They expire in March and June and September and December on the third Friday of the month. Now, what that means is if you are holding derivatives of any sort, puts, calls, whatever, you then are going to either exercise them or lose them. That's it. They go away. They're not valid after the close of the market anymore. So what happens is the last hour, which is called the witching hour, all these big traders, big houses on Wall Street and all over the place are examining their puts, their calls, their buys, their sells, whatever, trying to decide whether to exercise, let it lapse. Plus, they're gearing up already for the next round, which in this case is December, and there's a little bit of action for March out there too. So what happens is all the stuff clears, and there are a couple of good things about it. I said the volume was as high as it was higher than it's ever been, so another record set. But the good news for everybody was that the trading platforms, particularly the New York Exchange, they had no problems with all this. Mm-hmm. The rebuilding that they've done since about 9/11, the trading curbs that were put in and the better equipment and so on has all paid off. The thing went flawlessly, and what I really like is on a quadruple witching day when the market goes up.
Yeah, there really wasn't even a lot of volatility yesterday, relatively, for many shares being traded.
Very unusual witching day. So this thing about panic buying, let's talk a little bit more about that. Panic buying is when mom and pop empty their piggy bank and go out and buy a share of something. That's panic buying. Mm-hmm. The big traders can't get enough pretty much any time. But what's happening now is, I was telling Adam, I don't think there's been a time in history when there was such a balance between people who are bullish on the market, people who are bearish on the market, and the people who are neutral. It's about one-third each.
And I think it makes sense because you've got a great economy combined with an all-time high on the market. So the people who are timid out there are looking at it and saying, man, it's never been this high. It's so high. These numbers are big. That scares me. And that's a fair assessment.
It is, absolutely.
But the people who are looking at the economy and saying, wow, everybody's working, everybody's making more money, that means everyone's going to be spending more, that's going to benefit the economy more, and they're looking at the cycle and saying, man, this looks like a pretty good setup for it to push even higher.
70% consumer-driven economy.
Exactly. So I can understand both sides of the issue right now, and I actually think that that's a pretty rational response to the situation that we're in.
So let's turn the tables and say, is this sentence rational, having been published this week? Not only is there little evidence that investors are wary, well, we've already told you, a third of investors are actually bullish, and there's another third that are on the fence, but market commentators are pointing to panic buying. Well, there's only a third of the people that are even bullish. There's no panic buying going on out there. There was normal buying going on out there. So, again, what are they selling? They're selling fear. All right, then she goes on. Thanks to swelling account balances, people are feeling wealthy. Absolutely true. We are experiencing gains in the stock market, tax cuts for many, paycheck increases for some. So people spend rather than save, and they're going more into debt to do it. That's why the savings rate has dropped and consumer debt is climbing. Well, okay, and that means we should, panic and sell stocks? I don't think so. There's still a lot of pent-up demand from 8 years of underemployment going on out there. You're seeing it in all the jobs numbers, and tax cuts are affecting not just a few, they're actually affecting about 90% of Americans, and there is another round of tax cuts on the books right now. So, she continues, many people are woefully unprepared for the inevitable market meltdown, and it's a recipe for disaster. What can you do? Well, please save us, O Guru, from the inevitable meltdown. Here are the four things, which I will get to right after the break, but the first one that I'm going to talk about is building up your rainy day fund. You do that because there's an inevitable meltdown, or is that the first thing we tell our clients when they come and see us? It gets worse, trust me. All right, don't go anywhere. We got to talk about this a little bit more. We've got some other fun statistics, too, but I'm not done making fun of her yet. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you can donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-895-8035. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to over 50 locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now. Call 1-800-895-8035. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher for donating. Call now, 1-800-895-8035. That's 1-800-895-8035.
Homeowners, now is the season to be thinking about your roof, because all it takes is one storm to turn a small roof problem into a major leak. If it's time for a new roof, get your roofing installed the right way with Sears. Call Sears for a free in-home consultation. Sears licensed, fully insured contractors can get your roofing job done right. You'll get reliable service and installation. And Sears has a variety of shingles and styles that are built for long-lasting performance. So if you need a new roof, don't wait till the next storm. Call Sears Roofing for a free in-home consultation. Call 1-888-990-2233. That's 1-888-990-2233. Not available in all areas. Installation provided by Sears Authorized Licensed Contractors. License information available upon request. That's Sears Roofing. Call right now. 1-888-990-2233. 1-888-990-2233. Sears.
So you need to find a plumber to replace your water heater. The question is, where are you going to look? Phone book? That got tossed in the recycling bin as soon as it hit your doorstep. Web search? Not unless you feel like sorting through an endless list of search results. And you're certainly not going to pay a subscription fee to get access to some list. What you need is someone to refer a local pro you can trust. What you need is home.homeadvisor.com. Home.homeadvisor.com gives you free access to a network of over 85,000 background check service professionals who have the expertise to help you with all your home repair and remodeling needs. It's the fast, free, and easy way to find top-rated local pros who've been rated and reviewed by homeowners like you. That's why over 25 million homeowners have trusted Home Advisor to find the quality home improvement professionals they're looking for. It's why you can, too. Visit home.homeadvisor.com to find the service pros who can bring your home improvement dreams to reality. That's home.homeadvisor.com.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And this segment is brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. Call Troy at 662-9794. The trivia question is still out there. What was the performance of the S&P 500 in September of last year, both direction, up or down, and percentage? All right. Let's see. The saving tip, number one, was to build up your rainy day fund. Well, folks, I don't care if we're in the biggest boom or the biggest bust in the history of the world, the first thing you do when you're talking about personal financial planning is you build up your rainy day fund. Everybody should have some money with instant access that cannot get lost, put it in a bank account, a credit union account, or something like that, because sometime when you need it, you won't have to sell something in order to get it. Now, there are various concepts of how much that should be. But the tip number two in this one said, ignore conventional advice of having an emergency fund of 3 to 6 months' worth of expenses, which isn't even conventional in our office. We actually have a formula for it. During the last financial crisis, many people are out of work for 1 to 2 years or longer. Make sure you have an amount equal to 2 years of expenses in safe and liquid assets. You know what another name for safe and liquid assets is?
Cash.
Non-working capital.
2 years of expenses?
2 years?
That's crazy.
Seriously, people? she's nuts. Absolutely not a necessity. It's just stupid. Tip number three, don't forget history. We're in the longest running bull market in modern history, and the longest ones go out with a bang, not a whimper. Bang, you're dead, right? Overnight? From this big, long-running bull?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Number four, avoid the very human urge to follow the crowd. As Marshall Thurber observed, all the dogs barking up the wrong tree don't make it the right one. So I thought, that is so wise and thoughtful and deep. I'm going to find out who Marshall Thurber is. So I looked it up. You ready? Drum roll. He is a movie producer.
Oh, so obviously knows a lot about investing.
I get all of my best advice from movie producers and the actors that they produce for, don't you? So she starts out quoting Warren Buffett, and she punctuates her point by quoting a movie producer. All right, so here's the wild conclusion. The very best place to put money you need to keep safe and liquid is in a, her brand name, account, fully funded life insurance product. Really, the very best place? You use the term, the very best place. I would like to see somebody prove that.
Yeah. Weren't we just having this discussion earlier this morning about what happens with life insurance products when you get older?
We absolutely were.
Yeah. The weird thing is they start to cost a lot more. And by the time you die, you may have already paid into the policy more than what your death benefit is.
Oh, and that will happen at least in your 80s. The problem with insurance is it is inherently designed to insure younger people, not older people.
Right. It's a great deal if you die when you're young. And I don't think that's the goal of most people.
No. Insurance equals protection. Annuities equal risk transfer. And investments equal wealth building. And you should have three columns on your page, not one. She implies through all of her various analysis and advertising that you can kind of roll all these into one.
Yeah, no,
but
not a
good idea. A strange thing happens inside those policies. You pay what they call a mortality cost. A mortality cost, in layman's terms, is insurance cost. Now, if I'm going to go get a policy, and Adam's going to go get a policy, and we'll each apply for $1 million life insurance policy, I would expect that it might cost me a little more than it would cost you.
Probably a lot.
And the reason for that is very simple. My odds of dying and within the policy future time far exceed yours.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you get into these long duration policies and the people get older, the cost of insuring the person is, because there is a life insurance type benefit on it, the cost gets over and over larger and larger until it starts to eat away at the built up cash in the policy and it disappears after time and you're left with nothing. Now, let's compare that to having a variable annuity. You have a variable annuity out there and it has in it a death benefit provision. Because let's go back a little bit. What is the end value of every annuity?
Zero.
Exactly. Annuities are meant to consume your assets during your lifetime. If you have not used up all that money and you die, the insurance company sticks it in their other pocket and goes on with their business unless you have a provision in there for which you pay, and that provision is a life insurance policy on you that allows your beneficiary to collect any unpaid out proceeds from the cash value of the contract. Well, that's fine up front, but that starts to consume all the assets in the plan too as you get older. What do you do about that? Well, we have an answer for that. It's called the Jefferson National fee-only $20 flat fee per month variable annuity. So if you already own one and you can't really afford to cash it in, but you're going to go broke with it, we can help you roll it into the JeffNet product. And the money in that annuity is unlike other annuities. Guess who it belongs to? You. Not them. You.
Guess who decides how you want to take it out, if you do at all.
Uncle Sam decides how it's taxed, but you decide how you want to take it out. And if you die, when you die, eventually, if there's still money in there, it goes to your beneficiaries because it's your money.
100% of it gets transferred to your beneficiaries.
And instead of paying what can be thousands of dollars a year in mortality costs, it's $240 a year on it.
And
we can manage it.
They
for you.
Will even tell you, you should never annuitize with us, which means turn it into a stream of income payments.
We did one this year in 2018. We did one that was about to cost this fella $28,000 in mortality costs for this year.
Mm-hmm.
We took that down to $240.
Right.
And all the money is right there.
Yeah, there are no mortality costs and just a much better deal. And it's invested in the market. It's growing currently. So just a better deal all around.
Now, let's relate this to the life insurance product. You are paying for the death benefit of that life insurance product the same way you're paying for it if it were an annuity. Well, as you get older, this starts to get out of hand. So no matter how much you're contributing to the plan, it's being consumed, more and more of it's being consumed as you age by your mortality cost. In other words, you're paying for life insurance in there. Well, when that gets carried away, the value of the policy, both the face value and the cash value, start going down. Well, at that point, wouldn't it make more sense to roll it into a Jefferson National type $20 fixed annuity where, yes, you're going to sacrifice the difference between the insurance value and the cash value one time, and then you can start building it back up by making the same premium payment you would have paid to the life insurance product. Now, I know this is getting complicated. The point is, there is no reason for these policies to go broke. Uncle Sam has a rule called the 1035 tax-free exchange, whereby you can go from one annuity to another. You can go from a life insurance product to an annuity, and you can exercise that with a simple set of paperwork and change it into an environment where you have total control of your money. So if you've got relatives that are holding onto these old policies that are going broke, or if you're watching your own deteriorate, give us a call. In fact, you want to tell them how to find us if you want to talk about this or anything else?
Yeah, definitely. The easiest way to find us is online. We're at www.vanweefinancial.com. If you can't spell Van Wee, I don't blame you. It's not easy, but it's VanWie or Victor Alpha November Whiskey India Echo. You can also give us a call. We're at 904-685-1505. If you want to come and see us, right on our website, there's a little button that says schedule a meeting. You can look at our calendar, see what's open, schedule something out, and come and see us.
And read a few blogs. And if you miss all or part of the radio show, you can always find that on our website, too. There's a link to the podcast.
Yep.
And our crack staff is kind enough to eliminate the commercials from the podcast, so you can do
correct.
It very, very easily. Next week, I want to talk about the changes that are coming to required minimum distributions and how I have this sinking fear that they're going to blow it.
They look pretty good in the proposals.
Yeah, I've got a few ways that they could do it wrong, believe
we
me.
We said the same thing about the tax law, and that turned out pretty well.
We did that.
I agree.
All right, and 2017, in the month of September, the S&P 500 rose 4.34%. So we are bucking the trend the last couple of years of the September being the worst month on average over the last 100 years. But remember, if August is positive, September is often positive too, and this August was positive. See you next week. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.